This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
COVID to steal an election.
Right.
They're using COVID to defraud the American people, all of our people, of a fair and free election.
This president has a record of strength and success. The former vice president has a record of weakness and failure. Joe Biden is good for Iran and ISIS, great for communist China, and he's a godsend to everyone who wants America to apologize, abstain, and abandon our values.
Nikki Haley, the face behind South Carolina several years ago, and of course, U.S. ambassador to the United Nations also during the Trump administration, and the president himself. RNC swings open day one, and the agenda is clear, is to go after Joe Biden completely. Hey, hey, everybody. Hope you're doing well wherever you hail from listening to this show. We've got not only the winds blowing out of North Carolina for the RNC with lots of doom and gloom if Sleepy Joe, as they say, is elected president, but also two major storm systems hitting the United States. The second one, a lot bigger, turning into a full-blown hurricane. I'll talk about the latest on that. And riots in Wisconsin. Another black man is shot by police, and it's caused Wisconsin to absolutely explode. Where, how it all happened, I'll give you, of course, all the details on that. And then the shocking news, although he's denying it, we'll see what the fallout is of this. A business partner of Jerry Falwell Jr., who is the head of Liberty University and a big supporter of President Trump's, the accusation by a young business partner that says, yeah, I had an affair with his wife for over 7 years, and he watched in a corner. What? So there's some crazy things happening with that. Liberty University not saying too much in the wake of the big, let's say, National Enquirer-like headlines. But let's stick with the RNC and the first day. The president said that he would speak all 4 days, and certainly he did that, so breaking tradition there. And, of course, still having the big night, which would be the fourth night on Thursday. The Democrats had their turn last week, and now it's the Republicans, like I said. What's interesting is a couple of things that were notable and a couple of things that I actually was pretty surprised about. There didn't seem to be any glitches. There was a lot of interesting stories from everyday Americans supporting the president for various reasons, and they told their reasons why. And then there were kind of the rock stars of the Republican party and family members, Trump Jr. taking to the mic too, as well in North Carolina. It looked like a convention without the crowd. Different from what the Democrats, I think, did in that they certainly had scenes that looked like that. But I think the setup here was because day one was Soul of America. So they were talking about this is, you know, the soul of America. And this is what we're all about here. And that's what it looked like. There was flags behind everybody who spoke. They're at the podium that said Trump Pence on it. Make America Great Again. 2020. That's the slogan. And it's interesting. There were certainly, and you heard it there, there certainly were some things about COVID that were talked about, COVID-19 and the virus. And again, Joe Biden really, really, to me, is, and I don't know if this will be every single day, but really it was about going after completely Joe Biden and what would happen if Biden were elected. A dark picture really was kind of framed, painted, if you will, that the president is a builder, a visionary, and he is kind of the man at watch of Western civilization, and God forbid that Joe Biden become president, because then what would happen? In fact, Don Jr. even calling Joe Biden the Loch Ness Monster of the swamp, and it kind of was like it kind of went along like that. Whoever spoke, and it was interesting because I think you had a lot of what I think would be expected. The RNC roll call was a lot different from the DNC's roll call. I think that was a noticeable difference for sure. And what happened earlier in the day with the Republicans was a lot different from what the Democrats did. And in fact, the Republican National Convention started off with an enthusiastic roll call for the president, and that's how they kicked it off, and then you had the smattering, as I mentioned, of various people that you would recognize in the Republican Party who would be people who, for various reasons, had ties to things that happened, you know, with the president. So interesting to see some of the differences. We'll ultimately watch the setup, because every single night, I've talked about this in a previous show, every single night there's kind of a different theme to it. But this opener was Soul of America. That was what it was billed at, as rather. So what's interesting is for the RNC, you had Fox News not showing the full Republican National Convention. I think that was kind of surprising. If you were going to look at this somewhere on cable TV, you would go to Fox. And of course, they didn't show the Democrats, but they did show it, but they didn't show the whole thing. It's crazy because CNN had the whole thing. In fact, you even had the campaign advisor to the president who tweeted out, and this is what caught my attention, "I can't believe I have to watch the convention on CNN. And then unbelievable at Fox News. You had One American News Network, which showed the convention uninterrupted. And then there was YouTube, and there were other places you could go. But you had regular programming, such as Sean Hannity, rather than the roster of the scheduled speakers. And that was surprising even to the higher-ups, I think, in the Republican Party. They weren't expecting that. So the list of speakers included Congressman Jim Jordan, Matt Gaetz, also Congressman Matt Gaetz from Florida. So you had Ohio, Florida, Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina. I already mentioned the former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, the former governor of South Carolina, who took some of the biggest swings, I think, at what a Joe Biden administration would look like. Without a doubt, that her speech was peppered with a lot of that. So an interesting start, I think. And what happens in the next couple of nights is they're specifically laid out just like the Democrats, because this is a convention. We'll see where it all meanders to at the very end of this. We're not through. Of course, we're going to talk more about the RNC, including mail-in voting, which is one of the biggest tug-of-wars between the Republicans and the Democrats. It, of course, came up at the RNC. Bernie Sanders countered back. We'll have that on the flip side.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not, but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com. Or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
In the history of politics, I think, and I'm talking about beyond our nation.
He wants to cut funding for the Postal Service. He wants to sabotage. He basically said that he wants to make it harder for people to cast mail-in ballots. That's what he said. So if that is what the President of the United States says, I kind of think that that is the policy that his pal, a major campaign contributor, is pursuing.
All right, so mail-in balloting, will it work? Won't it work? What's going on with that? How slow is it? Are the sorting machines screwed up? Two-letter sorting machines back online at the Tacoma Post Office. I know we have listeners there, so it's interesting because a lot was made about that. But a USPS spokesperson verified, yes, it is back and it is working. That it was a management decision that was made, that there was one taken offline, but they had a change of heart, decided to put it back online. And other mail processing machines have been taken offline in the Seattle area, and they're talking about what are the reasons for the management decision, and they're saying, you know, the temporary mail volumes this fall, that they want to be able to process that. It's interesting because you look at the Postmaster General who said, we may need that additional processing capacity down the road, particularly with the general election in November and an expected temporary surge in the mailing at the time. And, you know, when you look at what DeJoy told lawmakers, that delivering election mail on time was a priority and achievable. So he's saying this is achievable. Whatever's being said, he ignored that and said, it's not, this is not not going to happen. This can happen. He also said, I'll submit that I know very little about postage stamps. He was asked a question about how much are postage stamps or something like that, and he didn't know what a postage stamp was. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, do I know what it is? I have forever stamps because I'm forever looking for stamps. So I always know I got to get the forever stamps. But in all seriousness, the Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, said he didn't know how many people voted by mail in the 2016 election. And it was pretty combative, this hearing about the changes at the Postal Service. And when he was quizzed about the rates, he didn't know the cost of a postcard or a square greeting card. He didn't know the rate for a first-class mail stamp, however. Congresswoman Katie Porter used her allotted time during the House Oversight Committee hearing to pepper him with questions about basic postal service operations. You know, what's the cost of the stamp? He did say 55 cents, so he knew that. And said, this is the priority. We're going to make this happen. Blah, blah, blah. So you know this because you heard there that that was the president talking about mail-in voting being in the scam, and then Bernie Sanders talking about the policy, et cetera. And when you look at what happened, in according to the U.S. Election Assistance Commission, 24%, and this is, again, going back to history, so the past, 24% of voters voted by mail in 2016. So that's 33.6 million, 33.6 million of the 140 million people who voted in the 2016 presidential election. A new survey found 37% of registered voters were likely to vote by mail this year. Now, why do you think that is? COVID. So people don't want to be waiting in lines. They saw what happened in Wisconsin, and when they had their early voting, they don't want to be waiting in lines in some cases. And that's the part of the reasons why, right? So states expanded voting by mail to reduce the crowds on Election Day also, because they don't want to deal with that, and provide an alternative to in-person voting because of the pandemic. So now we've had these postal delays over the past couple of months, and this has become just part of more of the political firestorm, of course, before the November elections. And the president, and that's what he was addressing, Democrats are accusing the president of trying to undermine the Postal Service because of his opposition to vote by mail. And some have called for even to the point of DeJoy's resignation. And he slammed that false narrative. I mean, he was pretty adamant about that, that he did make changes to the Postal Service, but he didn't make them to disrupt the delivery of the election mail. And he said the operational changes and delivery schedule changes were necessary to move toward sustainability because of the dire financial situation. And, of course, the USPS has been in trouble for a while now. And inadequate staffing is part of what he said. You know, have you been to your local post office? How many people are working behind the counter versus how many used to work behind a counter, and then those that are delivering it? And, you know, of the coronavirus deaths in the United States, we have over 177,000 now. DeJoy said 83 postal service workers had died from COVID-19. You know, so there you go. U.S. Postal Service, I think it's going to, throughout this entire time, getting to the election, this is going to be one of the things that is constantly hammered on in two different directions, two different narratives, two different versions of what's happening from both the Democrats and the Republicans. You can absolutely count on it. And, of course, the Democrats address that during their convention, and now you see that the Republicans are doing the same thing. By the way, because I brought up the deaths, 177,000 in the U.S., total in the world, 809,000. Total cases in the United States, 5.74 million. It's kind of the same thing. You know, there's areas that have, there's hot pockets of it, and then there's areas that that are experiencing the opposite, that they're seeing that the cases, they haven't had as many cases. So it is the eeny, meeny, miny, mo of this life of the pandemic. It depends on where you are and, of course, also what's happening as well. All right, I want to make sure that I get this in because this is just too darn big. Again, while the Republicans are having the convention, and it's not a live convention, it's very similar, well, similar and different to what the Democrats did. There is this hurricane that is getting set to smash into the Panama City, the Gulf Coast, New Orleans. Luckily, their levees are really different than they were back in the Katrina days. And I've said this before, I toured New Orleans with the Hubs, and that's one of the things that was pointed out to us, and we saw how deep and how huge they were compared to what it had been. So Laura has unleashed damaging and deadly impacts across northern parts of the Caribbean. 12 deaths blamed on Laura. 3 happened in the Dominican Republic. 9 in Haiti. I've been really tracking this storm. It developed in the Atlantic off of the Leeward Islands on Friday morning. And this storm is just gathering a lot of speed. So you've got tropical storm warnings and watches that are in effect from Cuba to the Florida Keys. The National Hurricane Center said on Monday morning that a hurricane watch would likely happen. This is why we're seeing the boarding up and people leaving in the U.S. Gulf Coast by Monday night. And that's where we're at this point. In fact, it leaves my lips. Puerto Rico was one of the first Caribbean islands to feel the effects of Laura this past weekend. The state of emergency, 6 inches of rain fell, all of, all of that. So tropical force winds are 40 to 60 miles an hour. And the impacts, we'll see what the brunt of it will be. But certainly through the Florida Keys, rain and wind, gusty showers, thunderstorms, that kind of stuff. And they even had a mandatory evac for people in boats and mobile homes and all that kind of stuff, because that's where it would be. They'd need to be in different kinds of shelters. And Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards declared a state of emergency back on Friday for the state in an effort to allow a lot of that assistance at the prep level to get in. I mean, when you've got the two punches of Laura and Marco, I mean, that's the thing, is, you had a wind shear. So Marco weakened by the time it hit Louisiana, but Laura is the one that is scary. So Marco got weak, Laura got strong. There is something to that, right? All right. Coming up on the flip side, Jack says, Kate, what do you think the president is going to say for his last night at the RNC? We'll talk about it. We're heading to the mailbag now.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA USA Radio News with John Hunt.
In an in-person roll call vote, Republicans officially renominated President Trump to represent their party on the ballot November 3rd in the presidential election.
I humbly and gratefully accept your nomination for the presidency of the United States.
The vote was a mere formality as Trump ran virtually unopposed, winning every GOP delegate except for one in Iowa that went to former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld. The president also reminded the country that he will be running as the law and order candidate.
But we will also be a country of law and order. The crime and violence that today afflicts our nation will soon, and I mean very soon, come to an end.
The Republican National Convention runs through Thursday, and the president will give his formal speech Thursday night. This is USA Radio News. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy told lawmakers that he has warned allies of President Donald Trump that the president's repeated attacks on the legitimacy of mail-in ballots are not helpful, but denied that the recent changes at the Postal Service are linked to the November elections. DeJoy, who has come under intense scrutiny over sweeping policy changes at the Postal Service, faced new questions on mounting problems at the agency as it prepares to deliver record numbers of ballots this fall as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. In a notable change, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden and his running mate Kamala Harris will now be regularly tested for the coronavirus as the race for president heats up. Biden spokesman Andrew Bates said this announcement is another step demonstrating Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's commitment to turn the page on the catastrophic mismanagement during the worst public health crisis in over 100 years. A campaign aide said the decision to move forward with regular testing was based on the recommendations of the campaign's medical advisors. This is USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Letters, papers, and packages delivered by carrier, train, and plane, sent and delivered through post, regardless of sunshine or rain.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail for you all day, okay?
Let's get in the mail, man.
Never gets old. So we are in the middle of a mail storm here. So many of you have sent in your thoughts. You can do it. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. It's that easy. Any of your thoughts, let them unfurl right here, courtesy 24/7 of our mail room. So I got this question from Jack. I said he asked about what am I expecting the president to talk about on the final night because he's speaking all four nights. Well, there's a theme every single night. So land of greatness is the theme on the final day. And I think the buildup is going to be a lot is about Biden and why it would be terrible and what would happen and what the president has done. That's different from what the Democrats' agenda is. That whole thing will be what you'll see throughout the next couple of days. And on the final night, from what I understand, from the little bit that I was able to glean from some people who are sort of in the know of this, because, of course, they're not releasing transcripts of it, at least not yet, but that all of it will be pretty much the pro-Trump, like Land of Greatness. So the final night is going to be about him, probably videos, things he's achieved, what the highlights of what happened in office. If you look at the speakers of that night, for example, until you get to the president, it'll be those that'll really highlight that, like Alice Johnson, the woman whose prison sentence was commuted by the president after Kim Kardashian lobbied for it. Probably also the parents of Kayla Mueller will also be there. She was the humanitarian worker, sadly, that was killed by ISIS. Just a horrible story. And they're going to speak as well. And his daughter, Ivanka, is probably the best spoken, I think, of all the Trumps that I've seen speak in the past. And she'll speak on that final night, too. And what's interesting to add sort of to the close, it's a good question, actually, that Jack asked. To close out the night, he's going to deliver the acceptance speech from the South Lawn of the White House. And the House and Senate Republicans have been invited to watch. So that's an interesting choice, right? Because the choices have been in different areas for other things that have happened. But, yeah, the convention's underway, and I think that's pretty much what you're going to see on the final night. There's a theme that's different every single night. Like Land of Opportunity is day two, and the major speaker of that one will be Melania Trump, the first lady, and she's going to deliver her speech from the White House Rose Garden, which was just renovated. All right, let's move to something else, because we got tons of emails, like, kind of all over the board, including this one. This one is from Mac. Mac emails the show a lot, but a lot of Mac's emails are right on point. So Mac says, Kate Delaney, have you noticed that when you go and check out somewhere, if you're using cash, you sometimes can't get the right kind of coins back, if you know what I mean? I can't imagine what laundromats are doing, and I think that a lot of businesses, the ones that are fortunate enough to be open, are kind of struggling with this whole coin shortage thing. What gives with that? Well, what gives with that is that we're not circulating the coins. But it is interesting, isn't it? I didn't even notice that or think about it until it was brought up like a week ago. But you know, with the money, the shortage of the coins across the U.S. is just an odd thing of the pandemic. So quarters, dimes, nickels, they're not being circulated like they normally would have been because businesses are closed, a lot of them. So consumers aren't out there spending the money like they were. The Federal Reserve announced back in June that the supply system for coins was just disrupted pretty severely. So the U.S. Mint and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin urged all of us to use coins or turn them into banks. Go to the banks, turn in your piggy banks. Do it. So with the economy in the state that it's in, until you got a full reopen, you got the coin supply that's not normalized, right? And there's even some places, I guess, that are saying we can't really provide the change. Like, for example, Kroger. Does anyone out there listening shop at Kroger? Well, they still take cash, but they offer you the option to load your change onto loyalty cards to use on your next visit or donate the balance to charity, because they don't want to have to deal with the coins because they know they're in a bad situation with that. So just flip it on to this card that they have. It's kind of brilliant of them to think of that, because then you're going to have to spend the money there anyway. And then laundromats, because trust me, these are still going and blowing. A lot of people do go to laundromats to even now to do a wash. And you got 56%, I guess, of laundromats that, and this is according to Coin Laundry, the Coin Laundry Association. It's a trade group for laundromats. You know, there's an association for everything, right? So 56% of laundromats that serve the public take quarters as the only form of payment. 89% take quarters as some form of payment, with cards, loyalty programs, or mobile payments as an alternative. So I think the whole mobile thing and paying that way is just going to keep, not that I didn't think this before, but I think it's just going to get bigger and bigger. So you got to get used to that. Whatever, you know, whatever format you think, well, this is still going to be there. I think laundromats, like so many other businesses, are going to swing in some different directions because of what they've learned from this. Yes, there is a coin shortage, so very astute of you to bring that up. If you have coins, take them to the bank and turn them in. All right, how about this one from Wendy? Kate, what's happening in Louisiana? One system weakens, but another one seems like it's roaring upon us. Yeah, I hate seeing those, and I just talked about it, but the Tropical Storm Marco definitely weakened as it was coming toward the Gulf of Mexico and New Orleans late on Monday afternoon. Laura, that was gaining strength, and that's what you don't want to see. So while you had Marco coming in weekly, Laura's expected to slam in a lot harder. But it's a question of how high are the winds going to be, what's the rainfall going to be like, how long is it going to linger, what kind of flooding are you going to get along the coastline. Preparation is everything with this. Preparation is everything with weather. And at least, I said this before, as somebody who came from that kind of an area where you had a little bit of warning, at least you've got somewhat of a warning. So people have busted up the boards, put them up, and done whatever they can to get ready for this. And let's hope it weakens a little bit. But, you know, hope is not a great strategy, right? So you got to trust in what the weather service is saying and what the National Hurricane Center is forecasting. And I trust that. And I looked at the pictures and the satellite pictures. Do not look good. All right. This one is from Jake, who listens to us in Austin, has been around for a long time since I've done this show for 15 years. I think the last 10 he's been around anyway. And so Jake says, Kate, I think you probably, like me, rely on Zoom somewhat for your business. How about what happened to the educators in this country when Zoom went boom and the teleconferencing went down? You know what? So like 2.5 hours on Monday morning, you couldn't get onto the Zoom website. You couldn't host, you couldn't join meetings. They fixed it by 11:30 Eastern, but the timing wasn't great because most schools, of course, are already up and going. And just when you have this summer surge with the coronavirus pandemic, a lot of plans to reopen classes and had to be there in person, they were scratched. So you had calls that, okay, class is off. That's what happened. I mean, pretty much a lot of first day classes, that kind of thing, were off. And then businesses. So, but if you stick to the schools, grade schools, high schools, universities are totally relying on Zoom and some other technologies like Microsoft Zoom to teach remotely. And what happens when that goes down, it just goes to show you backups, baby. Got to have backups. And I think you could get on the app, but you couldn't get on what you normally would be able to do. So Zoom had like something like 2 million subscribers. I was one of those people, early adopter to that, because using it for things when I couldn't do things through the studio and whatnot. But now it's a crazy amount. It's like 200 million. So it was the company. That just goes to show you what happens when you have to scale up. So while it's exciting they get all this business and people need them, were they ready for that boom? And Zoom has built up server farms, and they spent millions investing in software. But when the coronavirus hit in March, you know, software glitches happen, and what do you do? So you had a lot of kids that were in front of computers ready to start, but they couldn't get in. They couldn't sign in. And it had to be frustrating, I think, for some of these teachers. But what are you going to do? A lot of them just, you know, they just bounced out of it is what they did. All right, quickly, this last one. This one is from Cheryl, who says, Kate, Wisconsin having to deploy the National Guard. Of course, here we go again. Police shooting a black man and now more unrest. What do you think is going to happen? Yeah, boy, oh, boy, I saw the video and it was awful what happened. Apparently, the 29-year-old who was shot, Jacob Blake, is out of surgery and in stable condition. Thank goodness for that. I'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Stay with us.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I helped thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Barbara Corcoran grew up in New Jersey and is one of 10 children. After graduating from college, she taught school for a year, then started with a side job of renting apartments, moving up in the world. She later founded a real estate brokerage in New York City. She sold it in 2001 for $66 million. Many know her as a television personality, as a shark investor on ABC's Shark Tank for 11 seasons. I'm Kate Delaney, and that's her story. Yeah, Barbara Corcoran is an interesting story. You know why she's interesting? She's rags to riches. I mean, she really is that story. She was 23. She was trying to make ends meet, juggling jobs. She was waitressing and all that kind of stuff. And she met her future husband, Ramon Simone. And he wasn't busting at the seams with tons of money, but he had $1,000 that he was going to loan her to start a joint real estate business. And so what happened was that's what happened. And he gave her that money to start the business. And then he left her to marry his secretary not too long after, saying that she would never succeed without him. Well, succeed she did. She built quite an empire from nothing in New York City. And it became, as I mentioned in the piece, one of the biggest real estate firms in New York before she sold it. And she's now her legacy. I mean, she's, you know, trying to help others. And it's even part of that whole Shark Tank thing at 71.
Her net worth is something like $80 million, and she is the testament to nothing is too big to overcome obstacles. She went, she put her sights on what she could do, and she had her belief that she could move forward. And she has repeatedly said growing up poor is a key ingredient for success, because you know what she says, poor kids have nothing to lose and nowhere to go but up. So how about that? And even she goes further. She what I like is that she's a straight shooter. So for her story to finish this off, you know, where we're talking about people's lives and identities, and we've been doing this with the conventions going on and how we're affected by our world. She was a straight D student in high school and in college. And she struggled with dyslexia, another one. She didn't learn to really read properly early in life. And then she realized, once she had a child that was diagnosed with it, she realized, oh my gosh, this is what I have really, really struggled with. But she had that hustle in her, and the hustle was the thing that made such a huge difference for Barbara Corcoran. All right, at the tail end of this hour, there's so much happening, and it's day one of the RNC. It's their week, so you've got a couple of days left. Finishing off on Thursday, there's themes every single night. Day three is Land of the Heroes, and there's lots of speakers, of course, and that kind of thing. But the military taking, I think, the stage big time, including Dan Crenshaw, former Navy SEAL, who was a star candidate for the Republicans at the 2018 midterm elections. I'm sure he's going to speak. He definitely is going to get a speaking slot and has one, I believe. And you have the vice president, who's going to speak from Fort McHenry in Baltimore. And obviously there's lots of significance there, because McHenry was the site of a battle between the Americans and the British in 1814. A battle, in fact, that inspired Francis Scott Key to write the poem that eventually became the Star Spangled Banner. So that's why he's doing that there. And, this is where we're at. The first night was a lot of speaking about the doom and gloom that would be if you have a Biden presidency. What would that look like, and what are the Democrats pushing that would be so deadly to the nation, and what the president did with the economy until we were hit with, as everybody said, almost every speaker called it the Chinese communist virus is what they were calling it. So the day one was really talking about the perils of a Biden presidency and the coronavirus response is a lot of also what I think was on display. Pretty much the theme kind of from Donald Trump Jr., who said Joe Biden's entire economic platform seemed designed to crush the working man and woman. And he also referred to the former vice president as Beijing Biden and the Loch Ness monster of the swamp. And so it's, he said at one point, it's almost like this election is shaping up to be church work and school versus rioting, looting, and vandalism. Or, in the words of Biden and the Democrats, peaceful protesting. So Don Jr. did the heavy lifting of the punching, like going after Joe Biden, kind of like Michelle Obama had that role for the Democrats. And there was lots of mentions of COVID and what the economy was like, before pre-COVID, that the levels were huge and that, you have a choice, and that's a referendum on what the president has done. So economy, that was big. Kim Guilfoyle, the senior campaign official girlfriend of Donald Trump Jr., warned the Democrats of socialist agenda. She said they want to destroy this country and everything that we fought for and hold dear. They want to steal your liberty, your freedom. They want to control what you see and think and believe so they can control how you live. And said, don't let the Democrats and their socialist comrades take you for granted. So again, most of the speakers, to give you a sense of it, if you have it, most of the speakers tried to put Biden and the Democrats as in the light of doom and gloom, you know, threats to gun ownership, property rights, national security, personal wealth, and that kind of thing. Really not good for the American, not good for the American dream. A Trump critic, Steve Schmidt, who ran the 2000, it was really a staunch Republican, ran the 2008 campaign of John McCain, is now the thwarter on the other side. I call him, he's sort of like the foil on the other side now. And he said, this convention is a bubbling cauldron of delusion, insanity, and grievance. He tweeted that out. He's a political strategist now. So I was watching. There was a lot of that. There's a lot of back and forth, just like we saw, I think, in the Democratic convention. Twitter is where you get your wars and name-calling even more, and so there was a lot of that happening there. Sad thing happened during the day. There was the recent shooting of a black man in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and that didn't come up during the RNC, which I'm not necessarily surprised by that. The Wisconsin governor on Monday deployed the National Guard to Kenosha. That's where it was, following a night of fires and kind of unrest, I guess is the best way to call it. And that came on the heels of police in the Lakeside City shooting of a black man multiple times in the back. There's video of this. And the guy that was shot was 29-year-old Jacob Blake late on Sunday afternoon. His three sons sadly saw the shooting. They were in the car when he was going to his car, getting in his car, and they were walking behind him, and then he was shot a couple of times, like I said. So he was rushed to the hospital. He's in stable condition. He's coming out of surgery. The video that was taken that we were seeing all over the place. You could look it up on whatever your search engine of choice is. But the video shows, I'll set it up for you, from a bystander across the street, shows that he's walking toward the driver's side of his gray SUV, followed by two police officers with their guns drawn at his back. Seven gunshots are heard. And as Blake, who looks like he's unarmed, opens the car door, and then there's a woman in the car jumping up and down in disbelief. And, you know, what was it that caused him to fire on him? It's not clear. It's also not clear whether you had one or two officers that fired their weapons. You can clearly see it. So now, of course, you have these crowds that had gathered that were throwing bricks and Molotov cocktails at police. And then they've closed buildings. And, you know, here we go again, talking about what's happening in our communities. And I'm sure there'll be much more specifics that we'll start to unload about this horrible thing that happened in Wisconsin. Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody. A big, big shout out to Mo Flam as well.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com.
or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.